All of them were moved by a combination of piety and also family. They were all linked by marriage, and that they formed a group of Northern French. They spoke the same dialect of French. And so you have to add into it ties of kinship, marriage, social pressures that led these fellows to go. And then with them went their knights and their sub-vassals, and pilgrims would attach themselves, including many of the poor. And it was the obligation of these counts and dukes to take care of those of the poor who were more or less from the same area and regarded them as their lord. So you had these pyramids that went out on crusade. Another important leader we'll encounter is Godfrey of Bouillon, and especially his brother Baldwin, well, there's actually two brothers, Eustace, but Baldwin, who will end up being the first king of Jerusalem. And I said he brought important expertise. Godfrey was from a old noble family, descended from the Carolingian age. I believe one of his ancestors was raped by Charlemagne as a swan or something like that. Well, in any event, that's why the swan was his emblem. And Godfrey was a seasoned veteran from the Wars of the Investiture Controversy and a fine commander. He commanded the Eastern Franks from Lorraine, regions under the Holy Roman Empire. And so their dialect of French was somewhat distinct, but they saw themselves as part of the same nation, quote unquote, as all those Northern French fellows from Normandy and in and around Paris. A third important group who had a somewhat different set of motives was Prince Bohemond and his nephew Tancred, the South Normans. They were actually persuaded to embrace the crusade when Hugh of Vermandois showed up in Italy to take passage east. Bohemond had been cut out of the succession in Italy. It was his older brother who got the throne because of his younger brother who got the throne, because Bohemond was in Greece at the time. It was a brother by a second marriage of Robert Guiscard. And Bohemond had too small of an estate for his ambitions. He had fought the Byzantines, and I think there's very little doubt that Bohemond always thought in terms of, I'm going to get a principality out of this. He was not going to relinquish his lands in Italy, but he had fought in Greece against the Byzantines, and Bohemond was extremely flexible on his ideas. It could be he could get his own principality. He was more than willing to offer his services as grand commander of the Byzantine army, if that would get him what he wanted. And his nephew Tancred followed along the way. Bohemond and Tancred turned out to be some of the ablest commanders, Bohemond probably the greatest, and the Normans the best veterans. Finally, there was Raymond IV and the Southern French, that is the Provençals. They were seen as a distinct group. They spoke a distinct Latin language. That's one of the reasons why Raymond never was able to assert his authority over the entire crusade, even though he worked in tandem with the papal legate Audemer. And Raymond, for all of his expertise and his knowledge of fighting in arid conditions in Spain, could never persuade the Northern French, the Eastern French, the Normans of Sicily and Italy that he should command, because those three groups saw themselves as more or less related. Raymond was an interloper. He was seen as arrogant and not quite, he never quite had the oratory to command. On the other hand, the Byzantines actually liked him, or at least in retrospect, because he seemed to be more civilized. He came from a Mediterranean society. In terms of the Italian city-states, it was the Pisans and Genoese who really responded. And the Genoese fleets would play decisive roles in supporting these military expeditions that set out. The Venetians, on the other hand, stood apart. For them, the empire was really their, the Byzantine Empire was really their ally in the east. The Venetians were seen by the Byzantines as a related people, and the Venetians only later begin to operate in the waters of the Levant in tandem with Crusader armies. Their commitment is with Constantinople. And so it's the Italians who were most active in fighting in the Western Mediterranean against the Moors in Sardinia and supporting Norman efforts in Sicily who would accompany and support the First Crusade. Well, with that said, you could see the mixture of motives here, that the religious motives were powerful among all classes, that the leadership went with a combination of motives that we would call practical, or ambitious or political. But ultimately, the underlying theme that tied all of these crusaders together was the need to go and liberate the Holy Land. That was the prime appeal in Urban's message, Jerusalem before Constantinople. The horrors were described of what the Turks had done in Jerusalem. And the ultimate gift for the incredible sacrifice that was expected of these crusaders, who were compared with the martyrs of early Christianity, was remission of sins, admission into heaven. And those were the appeals that ultimately struck most Europeans enthusiastically, fervently, piously to undertake this remarkable venture.